Now you don't have to stay linked to your desktop or laptop. Take Voice America on the go and listen anywhere. Get our mobile app for iPhone, BlackBerry, or Android at the Apple iTunes App Store, BlackBerry App World, or Android Market.
Prior to investing, please read the investment's prospectus carefully. The prospectus contains information about the investment, including the investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses. Orders for the purchase or sale of securities or other investment products cannot be accepted by email. The information contained in this communication is not tax, accounting, or regulatory advice. Please consult your advisor as to any tax, accounting, or legal statements made herein. Subject to applicable law, all electronic communications are monitored, reviewed, and electronically archived and may be subject to review and or disclosure to third parties in certain circumstances. The views and opinions expressed herein do not necessarily represent the views and opinions of SCF Securities, Inc. or any SCF-related entity. Women face many financial decisions throughout their lives. You may be getting married or divorced, changing careers, or getting ready to retire. There are also plans that need to be made for family and loss of a spouse or other loved ones. Welcome to Women Be Wise, helping women gain financial empowerment. Your host is Darlene Gilmore. In our show, we'll give you some proven advice designed to assist you with these financial decisions. Now, here is Darlene.
Good morning, everyone, and I hope you're having a great day. It's nice and crisp here in Austin, Texas. Today, we have our guest speaker of David Cook. He has over 45 years in the mortgage industry, and we're going to be talking about the new reverse mortgage today. And David has specialized, as I said, in working with mortgages and now the reverse mortgage, and he spends a lot of time educating seniors on what these are. But my first question for David, since you've been in the business for so long, I'm sure you've seen many, many changes in the mortgage business. So we've got the traditional mortgage, the adjustable rate mortgage, the variable rate, the interest only, and the reverse mortgage, and now the new reverse mortgage. What has the trend been, have you seen? Is that because baby boomers are aging?
Yes, there's no question about it. And plus the FHA... actually made some changes. That's why we're referring to it as the new reverse mortgage. We had some issues with the recession with the program the way it was designed in the past. So FHA was able to get permission from Congress to make those changes rapidly instead of going through Congress for approval, which would just take too long. So there's been a lot of changes made in the program, and so that's why we continue to recently to refer to it as the new reverse mortgage. It is completely different.
How long has the reverse mortgage been around?
Well, there's records of a reverse mortgage being done back in the 60s, and the story goes it was in New England somewhere, and a very popular local coach, basketball coach, had passed away, and a bank told his widow that they would advance her money against the equity in her loan and just add it to the balance and accrue the interest, and they would not require her to make payments. I believe that was in 1969. I know it was in the 60s. And so in 1989, there was a joint initiative between AARP and FHA in putting together the FHA program. And they did this in order for seniors to age in place in a home they were comfortable in. They felt safe, secure. They knew their neighbors and that sort of thing. And all loans at that time were refinance transactions, and the majority of the seniors took monthly payments or a line of credit. And again, this is the old version, the original version. And so they expanded that in 2009 to allow purchase transactions, which is brand new. And in Texas, in fact, it was just allowed here in 2014, just last year, so seniors could use it to buy a retirement home. And that's a big, big change. But they also added some additional guidelines to, as far as qualification. In the past, they were putting seniors in the program, and it absolutely was not suitable for those seniors to be put into a reverse mortgage because there was no income guidelines to ensure that the senior in future years could pay their taxes and their insurance and their maintenance on their home. So consequently, a lot of seniors in the program in the past would go 6, 7, 8 years down the road and realize they couldn't pay their increasing taxes on their property. So it caused problems. And that's just one of the changes. And we go through more of the changes later on in the session, but that's in a nutshell.
Well, let's kind of give a brief elementary discussion on exactly what is a reverse mortgage and who qualifies for a reverse mortgage.
Sure. The seniors have to be 62 and older to qualify, first of all. And they would have to have just round numbers, depending on their age, anywhere from 35% to 50% equity in the home for them to have a positive number when you run the calculations, what they're eligible for. And some people look at that, you know, you have to forget everything you know about traditional mortgage lending. There's really not a loan-to-value calculation. It's just based on the age and the value of your home as to how much you get. The older you are, the higher percentage of your loan value you would be eligible for. And as long as they're able, the seniors are able to remain in that home and they continue to pay their taxes and insurance and the maintenance on their home, then the loan requires no monthly payments whatsoever. When they pass away or they have to move out of the home for 12 consecutive months, because that's, you know, you assume they're not going to move back home if they've been out 12 consecutive months. They can go in for rehab, they can go back in their home, and nothing changes. But when that loan becomes due, there's no personal liability on the loan. So the heirs or the seniors are not personally liable if the balance on the loan exceeds the current value at that time. If it does, the difference is forgiven. They're not liable for that, nor are their heirs. And in fact, if this is another change recently to the new reverse mortgage, if the heirs want to continue owning that home, they can pay FHA 95% of the current market value to keep the home, even if the loan balance is much higher than that. So it's not a, in fact, a lot of people in the states where the property value is depreciated, California is a good example, those reverse mortgages that became due during that period, the heirs could buy it at the 95% of the depreciated value, even though the loan balance was much higher.
So, that's one of the questions that comes up so much for reverse mortgages is people are under the impression that you lose your home. So I kind of wanted to hear you emphasize that even more. Is this just a simple matter of you can refinancing and get out of what's owed to FHA and the bank?
Sure you can. Sure you can. And so, again, it's the lower of the current mortgage balance or 95% of the current market value. If they want to keep the home. So it's even, when you look at it that way, Darlene, it's actually a hedge against property values depreciating. You know, when I have a senior ask me, well, what if my home depreciates? I say, well, this is a pretty good hedge against that.
Right, right.
And, you know, and nothing changes on your loan as opposed to a home equity line with a bank. You know, number one, you have to qualify for that, and at some point you have to make payments on that home equity line. And if your property depreciates, that bank will cut off your equity line, which they have the right to do. That won't happen with this program under the loan agreement.
There's a number of different types of ways that you can use your reverse mortgage as well. What are some of the most common ones used?
Well, like I said, in the past, you know, the primary loans were, they were all adjustable rate mortgages because the seniors took a line of credit or they took a monthly payment that was mailed to them each month. And so when you do that option, it has to be an adjustable rate because no lender knows what the rates are going to be when you draw that money in years to come. So it has to be an adjustable rate mortgage. They came out with the fixed rate option. And so when the fixed rate came out, you had to take all the funds at closing. That caused a serious problem with the program in that seniors they said, well, I don't want the adjustable rate. I want the fixed rate because we, you know, all seniors, you know, are just completely opposed to the adjustable rate because of the bad situations in the past. In this program, it makes all the sense in the world. But so they were taking the fixed rate, taking 100% of the funds they were entitled to at closing, and for one reason or another, could not manage those funds properly. They didn't have good financial advice. They couldn't say no to their kids or their grandkids. You know, we've all been, well, I'm a senior, so we've been there. And so it caused a real problem with the program. And so what they've done part of the changes they made is they will not allow you to take 100% of your funds at closing with a fixed rate. You're only going to be able to take 60% of what you're entitled to, and you can't take any future draws. So you're actually leaving 40% untapped that you don't have access to when you do that. So with the new reverse mortgage, what we're seeing the trend now is the majority of the loans are the adjustable rate, and they're back to taking the line of credit, the monthly payments that are sent to them each month. And the great thing about that, the line of credit grows. Each month has a growth factor that grows by the amount of interest and monthly FHA insurance premium that would have accrued had you drawn the money. So when you think about that, to risk the risk in the end, the FHA is the same. So they say if you don't draw against that line of credit, we'll allow it to grow by the same amount of accruals that would have been added to the balance had you drawn it all. So currently the growth rate on my line of credit on my reverse mortgage is right at 4%. And if interest rates go on that variable rate go to 7, 8, 9, 10%, so does the growth factor on my line of credit. It helps me extend my retirement funds for a longer period because my financial advisor can tell me when to draw out of my retirement funds or when to draw out of my line of credit on my reverse mortgage.
So I'm guessing that the primary reasons that people do reverse mortgages is one, to replace lost income, and second, to pay monthly obligations. Those are the two main reasons?
Yes, because, you know, when you lose a loved one, and let's say the husband passes away, which, you know, as on the average, the husband passes away sooner, they lose that income each month, but the widow wants to stay in the home. So it's true, you know, any spouse that's working, if they pass away, you lose that income.
Right.
If they were earning income. And so even if they were just on Social Security, you're still going to lose some income. So it's a way to keep them in the home. And seniors may work part-time, but they're still not earning the income they were before they retired as a rule. And, you know, pension plans are just almost non-existent, and there's fewer and fewer, and the ones that are in them are trying to get out of them, the companies that are in them. So it just requires a lot more financial planning. And, you know, you've got that much equity in your home, and it's normally not considered in financial planning, and it should be in one way or another.
Well, without the reverse mortgage, in many ways, you can't consider it because there's nothing they can do with it unless they create another debt obligation through, you know, a home equity loan or something like that.
Right.
So this is a way for them to tap into one of their largest assets. Generally, I would bet this and their 401k are their two largest assets that they have.
Yes, there's no question about it. And we all know there's a large percentage of seniors out there that are likely to outlive their retirement resources because they're taking better care of themselves. There's better medical treatment out there to extend your lifetime. So, you know, it's a situation that everyone should consider. And I'm like you. If you've got that big an asset, it should be considered in your financial planning in some way.
I think when we get back, we're going to talk about a lot of the other things that people use for, because I had not even considered some of these that you listed out for me. But we'll go ahead and take a break just slightly early so we can get into some of those, and we'll be right back.
That sounds great.
When it comes to business, you'll find the experts here. Voice America Business Network.
Darlene Gilmore has been in the financial industry for over three decades, helping individuals reach their financial goals. As a certified financial planner professional and a certified divorce financial analyst, she can help identify and develop a strategy to help you through the critical financial events you may experience. Call her at 512-302-5534 or visit AustinWealthSpecialists.com. When your values are clear, your decisions are easy. Again, visit AustinWealthSpecialists.com or call Darlene today at 512-302-5534.
Game-changing technologies and strategies are transformational, exciting, and disruptive for a reason. They shake up your status quo. They get you thinking about new ways to scale, compete, and grow. They move you in amazing new directions. You're invited to Take Your Coffee Break with Game Changers on Thursdays at 7 a.m. Pacific Time, 10 a.m. Eastern Time for our special series on the future of business. Learn how you can become the transformational leader who takes your company across the finish line as you look ahead to the next breakthrough wave of innovation. The Future of Business with Game Changers, presented by SAP on the Business Channel.
From the boardroom to you, Voice America Business Network.
You are listening to Women Be Wise, helping women gain financial empowerment. To reach Darlene Gilmore or her guest today, please call in to 1-866-472-5790. That's 1-866-472-5790. You may also send an email to Darlene at women-b-wise.com. And remember, it's the letter B. Now, back to this week's program.
Welcome back, everybody. We're here with David Cook. He specializes in reverse mortgages. He's with Georgetown Mortgage here in Texas. And we're talking about what are some of the reasons people use or what are the purposes they use for doing the reverse mortgage. And we're going to go into, Dave, you've got home health care as one of them, which I found very intriguing as a financial advisor. Of course, long-term care is one of the key components of proper planning, but everyone is not eligible for long-term care. So how can this help them?
Yes, not only are they might not be eligible for long-term care, I think one of the biggest complaints from seniors is they just can't afford the monthly payments for that coverage early enough in their years when they're still healthy. And an option they would have is they could take the monthly payment on a reverse mortgage sent to them to help cover costs for home health care if they're able to stay in their home. And that check continues, by the way, as long as they're able to live in that home. There's not a loan term on a reverse mortgage. Well, there is. It's on your 150th birthday, according to the loan documents. And so they had to have a term in there of some kind. So they put that in, but for all practical purposes, there's just not a term as long as you're able to reside in the home. So home health care could be not only be less expensive than going into facility if they don't have long-term care that gives them adequate coverage, but they actually would live longer being in their home. And so that's a very, very good option. And also, Darlene, they could take the monthly check in order to help pay for those insurance premiums for long-term care. So that's another thing seniors use it for.
Now, something you said just now that said they can't outlive that money, I was thinking that they're borrowing against the value of their home. You're pulling out the equity in essence to get the reverse mortgage. So even if they've expended that total, it will continue?
Yes. And that's what I said earlier in the program. They can continue to build that balance on that loan, and it goes beyond the current market value of their property. You know, let's say they live in the home into their 90s under the program. Most schedules you look at, once they reach in their low and mid-90s and their home appreciates at only 4% a year average, they're probably going to run out of equity in their home, and that balance is going to begin to grow to a higher amount than the current market value. But the difference is insured by FHA, so it's basically forgiven. They're not liable for that, nor are their heirs. So in that case, again, if the heirs want to keep the home, they can pay 95% of the current market value instead of that loan balance, because that's all FHA would be able to sell it for in the open market after paying a 5% real estate commission.
Okay. Now, you had mentioned earlier that under the old program, when people drew down all the money, then they weren't financially able to pay their insurance and taxes. So right. I guess now, because they can't draw it all down, that will also be a source of money to pay property taxes and insurance if they can't pay for it.
Yes, and I'll give you an example. I just had a transaction, a client, and she was in a very, very high-valued property, and her annual taxes are $19,000 a year, and she had just had $20,000 worth of dental work, if you can imagine. And so she took the option of taking enough cash at closing to pay off any of her debt that she owed plus her property taxes, and she still receives $3,000 a month as long as she lives in that home. So,
well, what would happen next year when she owes taxes?
Well, she would have to pay those, but she's getting $36,000 a year in income that she wasn't getting before, and she continued to draw down her retirement funds.
Oh, okay.
So she's got she's got $36,000 in income she didn't have before. So instead of paying taxes every year out of her retirement account and continue to deplete that balance, she's able to use the equity in her home and that monthly check to pay it. If she gets into withdrawing that monthly check, this is a very, very flexible program. If she gets 2-3 years down the road and she says, I've got another emergency, I need a cash disbursement, then she can take a cash disbursement and then it will readjust and maybe only send her $2,000 a month, let's say. So you can adjust these loans, before they become due, before they mature. You can change the program options if you need to. And there's a small fee of like $250 to record the changes in your loan, but that's it.
It's not like refinancing your home, so you don't have to go through a whole lot of paperwork and all that to change terms are.
Exactly. The only time you wouldn't be able to change it is if you take all the money that you're eligible for at closing. Obviously, you know, you're done at that point. But when you take the line of credit or you take the monthly checks, they're very, very flexible down the road, which is another good advantage of that option.
That's good. And you also mentioned they'll use the funds either to help family members, or the one that I was curious about is, does FHA actually care about what you do with the money? Because you have on here buying investment properties and second homes. They don't care what you do with the money at all. It's up to you, huh?
Well, to a point, you're exactly right. And in fact, in past, when I started in the business 15 years ago, it was actually marketed and advertised, use the money for anything you want. The problem with that is it needs a little bit of scrutiny. And it's not restrictive. It's just knowing that the senior is being advised correctly. Another safeguard built into the program is every senior has to go through independent counseling with an FHA-approved counselor. And the lender and the loan originator are not a part of that process. It's completely independent and separate. So, yes, they do want to know what the senior's plans are. Just to make sure and caution them on be sure and watch out for this and watch out for that. But they absolutely can take all the money at closing and use it for whatever they want to. But we would like for them to have a financial advisor like yourself in order to guide them through that process. And we actually tell them, if you're taking all the money at closing, if you're buying an insurance product or if you're buying a financial product, be certain and consult with your financial advisor in that case.
Actually, that's one of the rules in our industry is we cannot accept funds from a reverse mortgage and then invest it. That was came about when they first started, and that's what a lot of advisors were advising people to do, was get a reverse mortgage and then we'll invest the money. That's against the law now.
Yeah, so, and it should be, and you're right, and that happened. You saw that happen probably 8-9 years ago because there were some situations where people took advantage of the seniors, and they're a protected class, and that just shouldn't be done. We all know, both ethically and morally, you just shouldn't do that. So we give them advice, and we tell them to go to every advisor. And again, we have independent counseling, and so they ask them, if you're taking all the money at closing, what are your plans? Well, I want to buy an investment property. Well, make sure and get advice from your financial advisor that's a good thing to do. Personally, I prefer to see them if they don't have an immediate need for all that money. Well, I'll give you an example where they do need it. Let's say they have a current mortgage, and more than 50% of the seniors we work with have a current mortgage on their home. So let's say it takes all the funds to pay off their current mortgage and do away with that monthly payment. Well, that's a good use of the funds, and it's required. They have to pay that off. So,
and actually, it's increased their cash flow because now they don't have that monthly payment going in.
Exactly. And again, we've got, starting March 1, an income, a financial assessment. So we're going to verify all the assets and income of that senior beginning March 1 before we can approve a reverse mortgage. And it's really been needed for a long time. We want to make certain that this program continues for seniors in the future. And the FHA lost $2.8 billion in this program, I believe, in fiscal year 2008. And it was because they were putting seniors in the program. We were putting seniors in the program according to guidelines, and it was just setting up too many seniors for failure and disappointment. So consequently, beginning March 1, we have a financial assessment, and we're going to analyze their situation and make sure that they have residual income after paying all their monthly expenses going forward.
One of the things that intrigues me is this divorce for buying a partner share. Last week, we talked with an attorney about late life divorces, and it had never occurred to me that this is a way that one spouse can buy out another spouse, assuming they're both over 62 years old, so that they can stay in the home. Typically, the woman wants to stay in the home, and this is a way to do that.
Yes, it is. And in fact, just yesterday, I visited with a senior, and you probably learned last week in the broadcast, it would surprise a lot of people to realize how many seniors get divorces.
That's right.
So if they're, let's say they're eligible for 50%, which is about the minimum they would be eligible for at the age of 62. If they're older, obviously, they would be eligible for more. But if they're eligible for 50%, then the partner that wants to stay in the home, if it's in the divorce decree, and at closing, they can do it all at closing, then that partner can be the only borrower. So, Darlene, if the partner that's not going to be in the home is younger than 62, it's not a problem.
Oh, okay.
Only the borrowers, yeah, because they're not going to be on title, so they're not going to be a borrower. We're only interested in the one staying in the home. And that's, in a lot of cases, better than the one that wants to stay in the home taking so much money cash out of their retirement funds to pay the partner that's leaving.
That's right.
And so it's being used for that.
That's excellent. And then the one that's new to me is the idea that you can buy your retirement home with the reverse mortgage while you're downsizing. I think that one's attractive to me. How does that one work?
It's, you know, currently it's about 5% of the reverse mortgages that are being done are for purchase transactions. In our company, it's 15%. And my personal experience in my pipeline currently is more like 80% purchase transactions, because I do education for not only financial planners, but for realtors and builders. And so we do continuing education for those folks, and we get a lot of referrals, and it's just now becoming a mainstream reverse product. You know, the reverse itself is not yet a mainstream mortgage product, but we're starting to see a big trend toward the purchase transaction, because seniors are selling their home wherever they live now and moving closer to family, closer to medical facilities, golf courses, whatever their needs and wants are, and they're downsizing to a home with less maintenance. And so it's, you know, if they sell their home in, say, California, and they sell their home for $400,000, they come to Austin and they buy a home for $200,000, all they need to put down is $100,000. The balance of that $200,000 is made up with a reverse, and they have $300,000 to put into their retirement funds and not have a mortgage payment.
Wow. That's a terrific financial planning tool.
It certainly is. And again, and we also do training for financial planners to get the word out as well.
That's excellent. So we'll again talk about some of the negatives. That's one of the things that's you're doing educating is helping so many people overcome what their perceptions are about reverse mortgages. When we get back, let's talk a little bit more about what has happened to kind of reverse that mindset, and what else can we do to help reverse that mindset that they're just not good for people. And we'll come back and do that after break.
Great.
When it comes to business, you'll find the experts here. Voice America Business Network.
Darlene Gilmore has been in the financial industry for over three decades, helping individuals reach their financial goals. As a certified financial planner professional and a certified divorce financial analyst, she can help identify and develop a strategy to help you through the critical financial events you may experience. Call her at 512-302-5534 or visit AustinWealthSpecialists.com. When your values are clear, your decisions are easy. Again, visit AustinWealthSpecialists.com or call Darlene today at 512-302-5534. Social media is growing at an astounding rate. In just virtually five short years, we have seen YouTube, Facebook, LinkedIn, and Twitter take the world by storm. How do you effectively make social media work for you? Tune in to The Social Universe with host Kurt Wilhelm. We'll show you how to market your business or yourself to get ahead, especially in unstable economic times. We'll also discuss practices that you can apply to increase visibility and revenue as you unlock the mysteries of the social universe. The Social Universe is broadcast live every Tuesday at 2 p.m. Pacific Time, 5 p.m. Eastern Time on the Voice America Business Channel.
Voice America Business Network, the bottom line in business.
You are listening to Women Be Wise, helping women gain financial empowerment. To reach Darlene Gilmore or her guest today, please call in to 1-866-472-5790. That's 1-866-472-5790. You may also send an email to Darlene at women-be-wise.com. And remember, it's the letter B. Now, back to this week's program.
Good morning again. We're talking with David Cook with Georgetown Mortgage, and we're talking about the new reverse mortgage. David, we still have a lot of negative commentary about reverse mortgages, not only from the media, but I think there's a fear from the children, the ones that will inherit, quote unquote, this assets, and they're seeing this as this money's getting away from them. Let's talk a little bit about, on a positive side, how this could benefit the heirs if the parents had a reverse mortgage.
Yes, and that, you're exactly right. And actually, in the conversation with the seniors, oftentimes they will bring their parents. And I advise them personally, bring your financial advisor, any trusted advisor that you might have, your heirs, your children. And so we want the seniors to know that they're welcome to attend these meetings. Once the children understand it, 99% of them or better, when they look at all the other alternatives, which is for the children to help their parents out financially with their after-tax earnings, or allow the seniors to use the equity in their home to have a better retirement life or to stay in their home, then they're in favor of the program. Once they understand that the bank doesn't get the house, they still inherit the house and any equity that's remaining. So by and large, the children are in favor of it once they understand that. Now, you and I both know there's some children out there that assume for some reason that it's their God-given right to inherit the home free and clear, and they discourage their parents from doing it for that reason. But
that's right.
And there's nothing we can do about that. I mean, you certainly don't want to tell the children they're wrong or tell the parents that their children just aren't doing the right thing, because that's not my place or your place to do that. But we just want to educate them. And that's why, you know, I'm more of an educator than anything else. Let the seniors make, as long as they're cognizant and they've gone through the independent counseling. And by the way, that can be up to a two-hour session, telephone counseling or face-to-face. So it's pretty thorough. As long as we feel comfortable that the senior is able to make their own decisions, then they've earned the right to do that.
And I think from the beneficiary's point of view, looking at what some of the options are that you were just talking about, if their parents are aging and ailing, a couple of choices come to mind. They can move in with you and you take care of them. Or I've seen numerous times where the child had to downsize or take less hours at work so they could be the ones to help take care of them because there wasn't long-term care in place. Or they even had to pay for the long-term care policy to make sure it was in place. So there's a lot of different expenses that will go to the beneficiary if this option weren't available. What are some of the other ones?
Well, and just on that topic a little bit more, the only difference is if the seniors are drawing down their retirement funds to live on, do the children want the home to deal with when they pass away, or do they want the cash from the retirement funds?
Right.
I mean, I had my mother's house to deal with, and we had to spend $30,000 just to get it ready to sell. And
wow.
I wish that she had had a reverse mortgage and used up all the equity in her home at the time, and we would have inherited just what she had remaining in her savings and checking and her retirement funds, which would have been a lot easier to transition to the children. So those things you just have to think about, and again, it's just another reason why you need good financial advice.
At the end of the game, if when the parents pass away, I assume one option is just to tell the bank you can have it.
Yes. Yeah, actually, they aren't required to do anything at all. And most children do not. Now, if they wanted to, they could, deed the house, knowing no equity is remaining, they could deed the house to the bank and just make it easier. At that point, you're deeding it to FHA, but they don't. And they aren't required to at all because, like I said, there's no personal liability on the loan itself. So there's just no reason you have to do that. But
another,
with the new reverse mortgage, again, they aren't getting as big a percentage as they were in the past. There's going to be equity remaining in the vast majority of the loans now will have equity remaining unless we go through get caught up in another depreciating property value type economy like we had, back in 2008.
And another thing that I've heard negatively, and probably the new reverse mortgage has taken care of that, is for some reason, if the house was only in one spouse's name, maybe due to a second marriage or something, and then that older spouse passes away who had the reverse mortgage, now that younger spouse is homeless.
Yes.
With the new reverse mortgage, are they taking care of that issue?
Yes, FHA addressed that. Actually, AARP filed a legal action against FHA on that very topic. What we had is in the old program, I know this gets confusing, but prior to these changes, if you had a spouse that was younger than 62, you could take that spouse off of title so that the other spouse would be the only borrower. Now, remember that term borrower, because she does not give up her right of ownership. She's just not on title because she couldn't be a borrower under the previous guidelines with FHA.
Mm-hmm.
So if the borrower preceded that younger, let's use wife and husband, that's easier for me. If the wife was younger, which is normally the case, then she's off title. But if the husband preceded her in death, the loan would become due. And so the problem was she had to find a way to refinance the house or come up with the cash to pay off the reverse mortgage, or you're exactly right. She had to move out of the house or sell the house. So if there was equity remaining, she could sell it and still retain the equity. The problem was those spouses that were taken off title had no recollection of being properly advised about what would occur when her husband passed away. So there was legal action filed. Now, FHA's made the change where that spouse still has to come off title, but she proves her right to ownership and goes back on title if the husband passes away and the loan continues without a change. The reason is, let's say she's 58. Under the new program, the amount of money they get is calculated on her age at 58, so they get less money. And so loan will continue. So she still has to come off title because she doesn't qualify under the guidelines to be a borrower, but she can go right back on title when that husband passes away. So we want to make sure their estate is in order, he has his will done, a trust or whatever, to make sure that she can get back on title and has right to ownership.
she can go back on title even though she may not be 62?
Yeah, it doesn't matter because we based she's not a borrower, see, she's just going back on title.
Okay.
And so we based
the loan goes away.
The original funding.
The loan will go away then?
No, it just continues.
Okay.
So it's as if she was a borrower because we calculated the amount of money based on her age. If she's 20, they just won't get much money, see?
Right.
So the numbers still work out.
Okay. What are some of the, the income is not taxable that you're pulling out because you're borrowing, right?
That's right. It's borrowed money. And the one thing, you know, we caution people on because they'll ask me, does it affect my Medicare? No, it doesn't. Because Medicare is just based on your age and your past earnings, obviously. So it wouldn't affect that at all. And it's not taxable income because it's borrowed money. If someone's on Medicaid now or a similar welfare type program, I tell them you would have to consult with the local agency to make sure. But most of them, like in Texas, if you're on Medicaid, you can't have more than, I believe it's $2,500 balance in your checking account. So what you would want to do is have a line of credit with a reverse mortgage, and you just draw the money out of the line of credit when you need it and just never, you know, have that balance in your checking account grow to more than that $2,500, and you can also keep your Medicaid.
Yeah, I have a client that was able to do that, and that's what I explained to her, is just don't keep the cash and don't take the cash. But she was able to pay off her mortgage, which really freed up her cash flow.
Oh, gosh, yes. Yes, it's a wonderful benefit for those people in those situations. The oldest person I did that was on Medicaid, the oldest person I've done, period, was 98 when we closed her loan.
Wow.
And, of course, she got a very high percentage of her property value because it's
that's
based
right.
on life expectancy. Yeah.
You had mentioned that people can actually pay back on this mortgage if they want to, which might be something a child would consider doing. Would those interest payments be deductible just like a traditional mortgage?
Well, again, you're not going to catch me. I'm going to tell you, consult with your tax consultant because I'm not a tax consultant. But I can tell you what I did on mine. In December of last year, I made a lump sum payment. When you do that and you have it goes toward your accrued FHA insurance premium. And secondly, it's applied to any accrued interest on your mortgage. So I didn't have to make that payment, but I did it to get my interest deduction for last year.
Oh, okay.
So yes, you can get it because you get it for the year that you paid it. So I paid it in that year. And then I got my real estate taxes. I paid those and got that deduction as a normal mortgage. But had I been in a financial situation where I couldn't do that, it's not a requirement. I wouldn't have to.
So it provides a lot more flexibility, doesn't it?
Oh, certainly. Not only that, that money I put in increased my line of credit. Because the end result, again, to FHA is going to be the same. When I make a payment, they'll allow me to take that money. It also increases my line of credit. And when the loan matures, the numbers are going to be the same as if I'd drawn that money and not made that payment. It's just a very flexible program to use for financial planning. And again, and I never pulled any money out of my retirement fund to do that.
And that's the other thing I wanted to touch base on. You said it before, and I'm not sure if because I didn't click on it totally, if the other hearers heard it about one of the ways and benefits of having that line of credit is you can use it instead of pulling down on your retirement, especially if it's not advantageous at the time, the market is down or whatever's going on at that particular time. So you can use this line of credit to draw down to support your living while you wait for the market, hopefully, to reverse.
Exactly. And so my goal and my wife's goal, and plus I've got that line of credit for my wife to use if something happens to me and we lose that part of our household income. But you're exactly right. It's, you know, studies have been done and it's pretty much proven out. They call it a standby line of credit is the term that most of the financial planning industry is using. And they've shown graphs where it will certainly extend that retirement account balance that you have if you draw the money out, whether it's a bear or a bull market, and take the advice from your financial advisor, hey, this is not a good time to be drawing out of your retirement account. It's better to draw against that line of credit. And then if I have a good month, I can pay back money, and it increases my line of credit and just keep doing that. Our plan is to use up the equity in our home and have our children inherit the retirement fund balance. It's just a much easier transition of assets.
Great. Well, we're going to take our last break, and we'll be back with David Cook talking about the new reverse mortgage.
The business community's first choice in Internet Talk Radio, Voice America Business Network.
Darlene Gilmore has been in the financial industry for over three decades, helping individuals reach their financial goals. As a certified financial planner professional and a certified divorce financial analyst, she can help identify and develop a strategy to help you through the critical financial events you may experience. Call her at 512-302-5534 or visit AustinWealthSpecialists.com. When your values are clear, your decisions are easy. Again, visit AustinWealthSpecialists.com or call Darlene today at 512-302-5534.
Great leaders today have certain capabilities that set them apart. These leaders have discovered transformational leadership. Now, you can discover the same ideas, insights, and programs that have led them to success. Inside Transformational Leadership, hosted by Kate Ebner, is produced by Georgetown University's Institute for Transformational Leadership. We'll explore these stories and concepts every Monday at 11 a.m. Eastern Time, 8 a.m. Pacific Time on the Voice America Business Channel.
The business community's first choice in Internet Talk Radio, Voice America Business Network.
Listening to Women Be Wise, helping women gain financial empowerment. To reach Darlene Gilmore or her guest today, please call in to 1-866-472-5790. That's 1-866-472-5790. You may also send an email to Darlene at women-be-wise.com. And remember, it's the letter B. Now, back to this week's program.
Welcome back, everybody. We're here again with David Cook with Georgetown Mortgage. He specializes in reverse mortgages, and we're talking about the pros and cons, and I'm hearing mostly pros. So we're going to talk more about what they are. And David, if you could, one last question. One pushback I get a lot is about the cost, that they're too expensive. You hear that related to variable annuities. You hear that related to these reverse mortgages. Would you address that issue of cost of the loan?
Yeah, sure. And actually, they're not that much different than a traditional mortgage, a traditional FHA mortgage. The highest charge in your closing cost is the upfront FHA insurance premium. However, that cost, FHA, this is the only program that FHA insures the senior borrower as well as the lender against any loss. And we've already talked about how if you owe more than the home is worth, the difference is forgiven. It is forgiven, but that comes out of the FHA insurance fund to pay that. Also, if you're taking the monthly check, we use the example where the lady is receiving $3,000 a month from her reverse mortgage. If the lender in that situation were to go bankrupt, God forbid, but if they did, FHA actually steps in and performs all the obligations of that lender to ensure that the senior gets their check each month. So their funds are completely insured by FHA. So that's the reason for that higher cost. And it's just something we can't negotiate because FHA is actually a government agency, but it's also an insurance company, and they have to get that premium in order for it to work. But there aren't any fees such as processing fees, underwriting fees, we call those junk fees, that you will see on a typical traditional mortgage. And then the fees are completely regulated by FHA. In an awful lot of the cases, depending on how much money you're drawing at closing, you can negotiate the origination fee with the lender. For instance, if we have a loan where the senior is drawing down the majority of their funds that are available to pay off a current mortgage, or in a purchase transaction where they're using 100% of the eligible funds to help them with the down payment, then the origination fee is waived. So when you total up those costs, it's going to look very, very similar to a traditional mortgage when you put them side by side.
And then the other issue is there's really only, from what I understand with the new mortgage now, two reasons you can be denied this loan. One is if you owe the government already in some way with student loans or something like that. And now right. with the new reverse mortgage is the actually if they don't feel that you have the financial wherewithal to pay your taxes and that kind of thing going forward. Is that right?
Right. And we're going to look at some historical information. We don't care about FICO scores, which obviously you do on a traditional mortgage. That's not a concern. We want to make sure that they've not had any mortgage lates in the last couple of years on their current mortgage, and that they've not been delinquent in paying their taxes in the last couple of years, because if they've shown a history of being in default on a mortgage or the taxes, then this probably won't be suitable for them in the future beginning March 1. We also are going to analyze their assets, their retirement funds, and we're going to divide that balance that they'll have after we close with the number of months left in their life expectancy to give them credit for that as a monthly income number. And we're going to add to that any employment income they can prove up, document, and their Social Security income to come up with a number. We're going to deduct all their monthly debt, a number for utility, maintenance on their home, taxes, insurance, and then come up with a residual income number, the bottom line. And that has to be a certain dollar amount based on the number of household members that are living in the home. So it's really to sustain the program again, like I said earlier, so that it's available for seniors in the future, plus not get the black eye that we received in the past in the program because we had seniors going into the situation that it just wasn't suitable for their particular situation, and everybody's is a little bit different. In a lot of cases, it's better for them to consider selling the home. And yes, they may have to move into a rental facility or independent living facility or move in with family. But in the past, we weren't able to give them that advice because it wasn't in compliance with guidelines, just like you said.
Okay. So from a financial planning point of view, then we do need to consider, like you just said, you know, their ability to pay their current mortgage and looking at some of those other expenses before we recommend them considering a reverse mortgage or looking into it further?
Right. Well, we can't really deny them just based on that, and I'll tell you why. FHA says if you suspect they don't have enough money to pay their taxes and insurance, then you can set aside money to pay their taxes and insurance for them and not make that part of the equation. So, but the problem with that is if you divide their number of years they have left and you multiply their taxes by that, and so we're going to set that money aside and pay those when they become due, it normally is not going to leave very much for the senior. But you know what? A senior may still do that, and if nothing else, they have the assurance and they don't have to worry and lose sleep at night that their taxes and insurance are going to be paid each year because we're going to pay it out of those funds. We just can't allow them to pay it themselves.
So it's almost like a reverse mortgage escrow fund.
Exactly. We call it a set-aside because we're going to take all those funds and set them aside. And instead of dispersing them once a year to you, we're going to disperse them to pay your taxes and insurance. And so the general thought right now in the industry, in my opinion, the people I've talked to, is that, well, seniors are just going to say, no, I don't want to do the loan then. But I said, you know what? You're going to have some seniors that are really going to think it through and say, you know what? I was going to have to pay it out of my equity somehow,
right?
Or my retirement funds. So if I can use my equity and have FHA guarantee me, a government guarantee, my taxes and insurance could be paid every month, then that will be paid out. Now, if they only live 5 years, you know, let's say they're expected to live 15 years, they only live five, and they pass away, well, those funds were never spent, so you're going to have that equity remaining in your home when the home is sold.
Is there such a thing as refinancing? For example, if someone did a reverse mortgage 5 years ago, and yes, it may make more sense for them to be under the new one, and their equity is built up some more, can they refinance?
Well, two things have happened under the new program. You're getting less money, and so that home would have had, and then you had accruals building up on the other loan, unless they were making payments or something. But yeah, we had that going on in California when properties were appreciating, you know, 30, 40, 50% a year. It was just crazy. Yes, we had seniors, we called them heck 'em to heck 'em refis. They were reverse to reverse refis, and they'd pull out another $10,000 or so because there's never any out-of-pocket expenses. If the proceeds cover all your mandatory obligations, there's no out-of-pocket expenses. And so if you can just go to the title company and close again and get another $10,000 or $15,000, why not?
Yeah, I had one client do that because when it first came to Texas, the amount they could borrow out of their equity was not very high. And then when Texas increased it, she was able to go and get a new loan and pull more money out.
Yeah, and that could have been reverse, and it could have been that she had a standard HELOC with a bank. And in Texas, that's limited, you know, as to how much you can pull out. So, but it could have been a reverse, too, if she had enough appreciation in her home. It sure could have been.
Yeah, it was a reverse because the first time I went with her and everything with the guy, so it was a reverse. And then once they increased that ceiling, and she was in an area where property in Enfield, which was very expensive.
Oh, yeah, gotcha.
And so she was able to pull out more and do another reverse.
Yeah, when she did that is when they increased the ceiling to 625.5. You're exactly right.
Yeah, and this time we learned our lesson that she did not handle money well that time, so we set it up on just the monthly payout with a line of credit there on the side that she uses to pay her taxes, because the first one, she just blew through that cash.
Yeah, and I want to make sure everyone understands, the value ceiling is not 625.5. That's just the highest number we can use to calculate the benefit to the seniors. So if we have a $1.5 million, $2 million house, they can still do a reverse. But the numbers will be calculated on starting with 625.5. And also, there's a jumbo proprietary reverse mortgage available now. So if someone has a $4 million house, a $3 million house, we actually can get them more proceeds than they would get under the FHA program.
So David, I'm getting a message that we need to close. So that time flew by on us. But thank you for being here. Next week will be totally different. In honor of Black History Month, I'm going to have Dr. Shirley Sprinkles online, and we'll talk about what the impact of single pregnancy and that kind of thing is having on the lives of our African-American women. Thank you so much for listening. Thank you, David, for being online with us, and have a great weekend. All right. Bye-bye.
Thank you for listening to Women Be Wise, helping women gain financial empowerment. Be sure to join Darlene Gilmore again next Thursday at 6 a.m. Pacific Time, 9 a.m. Eastern Time on the Voice America Business Channel. Have a super week.